EPA gets started on one of its hardest jobs this week, developing the regulations for large carbon emitters after the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, waived smaller-scale emitters like malls, apartment buildings, and schools. But the court reiterated its endorsement of the Environmental Protection Agency's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants and oil refineries under the Clean Air Act. This proposal to cut carbon emissions from fossil fuel plants by 30% by 2030 is a cornerstone of President Obama's climate change agenda. It has met some fierce opposition by some, including Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, who has said there is no legal basis for the EPA to mandate these types of cuts. This weekend, while I was in Dallas at the Conference of Mayors, I had the chance to sit down with EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy, who says hometown approaches in this case make her job easier.
What we did when we put the clean power rule out was we established standards that states needed to meet that were based on where they are today and some of the practical and affordable steps that they could take moving forward to reduce waste and shift to low and no carbon energy sources. But we didn't tell them how to get there, because I think the most important thing to remember is that we are all in this together. This is about Congress taking action. This is about the federal government implementing that action effectively. But it's also about recognizing that states can know best how to turn this climate risk into economic opportunities. They know their own energy systems. They know where the waste is. They know where investments will make a difference. We based our understanding of what's practical and affordable moving forward a lot on the basis of what mayors have been doing, what states have already been doing. But the last piece is, I don't think it's just government that needs to really engage on this. It's also private sector investment. We think that this has a long time horizon, sufficient to send a clear signal to anybody who wants to invest in energy efficiency and anyone who wants to invest in renewable energy to really start putting those investments out into the market, because they are going to be valuable moving forward, and they should spark an ability for a next generation of technologies.
Can recalcitrant states on compliance issues change your level of budgetary requirements for enforcement? And can that be a complication for you, since you'll have to ask the federal government for more enforcement, more oversight, more monitoring?
Yeah. Frankly, I don't see this rule being any different than any other. We fully expect that we'll have the budget, the expertise, the tools in order to enforce this. The reductions that we're looking for, those are going to be reductions that you can take to the bank. We will get those reductions. But I think what we're hoping and what I think folks will see is that we've done it in such a creative and flexible way, and that states will actually want to come to the table to design their own plans. Why would you want EPA to do it if you can do it in a way that's best for you, that will generate jobs, that will grow your economy, that will be consistent where your communities are heading? I think they'll come to the table, and I'm very positive about the prospect of this moving forward in a collaborative way.
Given the state track record on cap and trade, is cap and trade reached a tipping point in terms of the ready-to-go, take-off-the-shelf program that states are going to really apply here, or are there other innovative options that you're excited about?
Well, part of the flexibility that we wanted to give states was not only to design their own state plans in a way that was most meaningful to them, but we also left open the idea that they may want to collaborate together. We have in this document shown that if you act regionally, you are likely to get more reductions at cheaper cost. So we expect that regional programs, whether they're the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is a cap and trade program, or the program that California has, that others can emulate or join, they will be attractive options, I think, for states moving forward. And frankly, given that the energy world actually operates regionally in most of the country, it might be the wisest choice. And we've not only put out a cost-benefit analysis that shows how much less expensive it is to act regionally, but we've also given states more time to get their final plans in place, recognizing that regional programs sometimes take a little bit longer to put in place and to negotiate. So we're trying to give every opportunity for states to choose the path that's best for them.
Is carbon a whole new ball game, or is it a next step in your view?
Well, using the Clean Air Act to regulate carbon pollution is a next step. But there's no question that this is a historic step. This is really sending a signal that the United States is going to be a leader to address climate change. I firmly believe that we are going to be running out of the gates. States will take advantage of this opportunity, and then you'll see many, many more reductions than we would have anticipated because our regulations are going to be the floor for those reductions. They are just creating an opportunity for the private sector to engage.
And Oklahoma will be on board?
I think every state will be on board. When I travel across the state, I do not experience climate deniers. I experience people who are concerned about the risk of climate. They're concerned about what it means for the next generation if we don't start taking action. And when you sit here with these mayors, they'll tell you that the actions that they're taking are not painful to them. They grow their economy. They find ways of using green infrastructure, parklands and bike paths, sustainable growth. And so I think we've turned the corner. I think we now know that about 70% of the people recognize that the climate is changing and that humans are impacting that. And we have almost that many, if not that many, saying that EPA's effort to reduce carbon from power plants is the thing to do and that people are willing to pay for it. I think the good news for us is we're giving every opportunity to have that payment be as low as possible, and instead of being a cost, be an investment. That's the key, and I think we have more opportunity with carbon than any pollutant we've ever regulated to make that the case. You know, my goal is just to protect our kids, and just to protect public health. And it couldn't be a better mission, and one that I think I am going to be fully engaged for as long as that gift lasts.
That's great. Thanks so much, Administrator.
Thank you. Good to see you, John. Yeah. Thank you.
Gina McCarthy is the administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I spoke to her in Dallas at the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.